Okay, so I think we did.
I got the question you was asking.
She wanted to know how much do you reveal. I don't know if that really requires an answer. She's not going to reveal. I don't care who told her to tell her whole story. Reveal it. I think that's kind of but we do understand also that people can feel phoniness. You can feel when somebody is phoning and saying, this is like, you can listen to them and you can appear to be engaged, but your spirit speaks volumes and phoniness can be smelled. So when you are revealing something about yourself, it needs to be authentic.
Correct.
Because people can embrace that. And women especially, you can go to the women's bathroom and your lady, she's on 30 minutes. And you're like, what were you in there doing? It's like, this woman in there, her husband back in school. And I told her she can come live with us because she ain't got to put up there. You're like, that's women. That's what we do. A man will never do that. So I understand what you say. You want to reveal something. It needs to be authentic so that people can embrace it and relate to that because it makes them want to say, let me tell you a story about what happened to me.
Right.
So we get that part. I get that part.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And one way of doing it is speaking sound bites.
Tell me what you mean when you say sound bites. I know what that means.
Okay.
But it's technical when you're saying it to me.
Okay, so...
when I hear it.
There's a technology called... when I say technology, it's not like computer, but it's a linguistic technology, right. Called neuro-linguistic programming. Okay.
Neuro?
Yeah, N-E-R-U, something. Linguistic programming. And basically what these guys have done is they've mapped out the thought process, or how people think, what they... We don't need to go into all that, but it's basically mapped out.
You said neural, right? Neurological.
Right.
Oh, I have to research that.
Oh, no, it's deep. Okay, so they mapped out basically how people think, the thought process, and so on. And basically, in the simplistic form is we communicate either, so somebody might say, oh, I feel what you're talking about. Right? So I feel what you're talking about.
I hear you.
But I hear you. Oh, I see what you're talking about.
It's
either kinetic, auditory, or visual, right? So people communicate in one of those three language patterns, dominantly, right? We all use all of them, but we all communicate.
Dominant.
Right. So we all have a dominant one that we work with, communicate with. So when I'm talking about speaking in terms of sound bites, you want to speak as general as possible, because you may not know who your listening audience, you may not know how they communicate.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are consciously aware, you have to script this stuff out and all this, you're consciously aware of what you're saying and not say, I see what you're talking about, but to say, you know, I understand what you're talking about, which is kind of what I'm feeling. You're more apt to build rapport and connect with somebody. Because now, so have you ever connected, I spoke with somebody and they said, oh, I see what you're talking about, or I see what you're talking about, and you're just like, I don't get it. Right? Even though they're clear about what they're saying, it's because they're using a different language pattern than what you're accustomed to.
Yeah, when I'm engaged with men.
Okay, I'll leave them alone.
All right. No, but like, I'm a woman, I'm telling you all about how I feel, and men tend to like,
Right.
You hear me, but if that's not your pattern, you hear me, I'm simple.
So in communicating with, especially large groups, when you communicate with,
you have to be general.
Mm-hmm. Because you don't know who's what and who's what. So when you're general, what happens is they will automatically adapt whatever their language pattern is with whatever you're saying. And you have a stronger connection with the person, for people.
Nicole is going to love when we do the research on neuro-linguistic programming.
Yeah, look up...
first thing is to learn.
John Grinder, Richard Bandler. Bandler, B-A-N-D-L-E-R. One was a mathematician, one was a linguist, and they...
Oh, I bet that is exciting.
Oh, it's a trip.
Jedi mind trick.
That's what it is.
You know, I mean, I understand what you're saying. You talk to some people and you're just like.
Yeah. And usually, I mean, they're clear. You're clear with what you want to hear, but it's just not connecting that way.
I've heard that there's not really anything that's above you understanding, because you can understand how it makes you feel. You may not be familiar with that word, but there's a pattern to how people talk. You know when something is important. You know when it's superficial. Like I said, you know when somebody's not being authentic. And it just kind of fades out. Like, I hear you, but if you're not being authentic, then if you sound, you're the Charlie Brown teacher now. Wah, 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 and I'm just simply, like.
Oh, I'll tell you, I'll use this stuff, I'm a little kind of off topic, but I'll tell you, I'll use this because what they talk about. So have you heard the phrase mirroring and magic? Somebody's thought process. Like, so, and I did this on a date years ago when I first got into this stuff, and it freaked me out. So, yeah, so mirror matching is if the person you're speaking with talks at a certain level, you know, you don't talk above them, you don't talk slowly, you talk kind of at that level, because that builds a deeper rapport with the person. Okay. Now, this is how deep it can go. You can start to mirror somebody's breathing pattern.
You can.
Right. You can start mirroring their length of their eyes.
You can.
Right. So now they're connected with you, but they don't say this like.
What's up?
A person like me.
Yeah,
right.
Like,
right.
What's up?
Right. A lot of people say, you know, opposites attract, which isn't necessarily true. They may attract, but they won't stay together because the, people like people that are like themselves, that have some sort of affinity, and the person you like most is you.
A polar opposite won't attract and stay together. But I don't think a mimic image of you is going to hold you.
Well, it has to be genuine in the sense, and that's what I discovered. So.
You have to be like, you can't be here. But I don't think you can be here and be long term. You will become bored. You need to be like here.
Well, you have to liven it up and do all sorts of stuff. But, so okay, we'll get back to that. But quick story, I was...
You were on a date.
On a date, and I just read this book, still have the book actually. We were going back 20 years. And the book talked about you lead the way. You mirror and match throughout the, you know, throughout your experience with somebody. And then at one point, you want to do what's called take the lead. So when you take the lead, you'll do something, and that person will do the exact same thing that you just did. But they'll do the opposite of it, like a mirror image of it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I'm reading it, and I'm like, Luke Skywalker stuff, whatever. Okay, so I'm reading, but I'm going to try it. So on the date, mirroring the breathing patterns, the talking, having a good time, blah, blah, blah. And we both had a drink. I think she had coffee or something. I'm not sure what it was. I take my drink. I take a sip of it. She picks up her cup, goes like this. But she had finished her drink, meaning not in that sip. She had nothing in her cup. She just picked up her cup because I picked up mine. Right? Uh-huh. So then, just a couple more things. Now I'm fascinated with it because I can't believe it's working. Right? And the guy talked about this in the book. So then we broke rapport. Because now I'm just kind of doing stuff. I'm kind of doing stuff like this, and she's going up like this. But she doesn't know why she's doing it. It's all subconscious. And then we broke rapport because I kept doing this stuff, and she knew I was kind of the catalyst for it, but she didn't know what was going on. So then that's when I kind of, okay, so I get it. I understand. So that was it. Powerful stuff.
How deep does this that go? I mean, that's, well,
never mind.
Anyway.
No, it's to the point I understand it, but won't use it. I just, if I'm going to communicate with somebody, it's going to be naturally and not forced.
Okay.
So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good stuff. All right, that was good to know, though. Okay, because that is good to know. Okay, question. We do speaking engagements all the time. I'm the trainer, person at my job. It's just, I just think that is a gift of our family.
Right.
God gives out gifts in abundance. We are all gifted in so many different things. The ability to teach influentially, it's just something we can do. I can talk to anybody. I'm cool at the barbecue, at your cousin's house. I'm cool there. I'm also cool in the boardroom. This is something I can swing the gamut of it all.
Okay.
I can bring my conversation up. I can bring it down. When I'm scanning my crowd, I'm selling my own product. Of course, I'm not necessarily talking about the plight of what's going on in Israel and why it's spiritual to me because it's prophesied in the Bible at the barbecue. But I'm not talking about that at work either. I'm following what the topic of conversation is there, and I'm discussing, you know, what I've been assigned to discuss. When I'm speaking about my book and I'm scanning my audience and I'm trying to use sort of like this method, how quickly are you able to look at your audience and assess how quickly you need to speak, how loudly you need to speak? Are you using 4 or 5 letter words, or do you determine that by where you're going?
Well, I think I do a lot of copywriting for my business. I used to do it for people, but I just do it in my business now. And one of the things I learned in copywriting is you want to write at basically 6th-8th grade level.
I told Nicole that.
Yeah.
And she's like, no, and I'm like,
no, you can't talk. You have to.
Hey, that's why I told her, you are in a PhD program because that's your desire, that's what you desire to see, but we are writing a book that's going to appeal to the masses. You can't use words like that.
Now, one of the quickest ways to lose rapport with somebody.
I told her that.
It's a word that they're not familiar with.
This will turn people off. And I said, then too, people will become embarrassed when they're reading something, and they're like, what does that mean?
Right.
Yeah, I can run to the dictionary and look it up, because I'm curious, and I want to know, but most people don't do that.
Right. Yeah, they'll glaze over and, yeah.
Put it down.
Yeah. You want to write, actually. In a very conversational, you know, just how you sit around and talk with your board.
That's how
you
talk to them.
Right. Which is, when you get mine, it, you should have it at the stay at tomorrow. You should have brought it, but I actually put them in the brain. So, yeah, when you see it, you'll see it's very just me talking. That's what I did. I talked and then transcribed. So that's, but yeah, no, you want to see that. You definitely don't want to talk about people. One way to... So your question was what?
I don't really remember. We kind of digress. So you gave us, we were looking for 2 ideas to increase our exposure. So you had given us 1, and that was to interview different people on different subjects. And the media thing, the interviewing different people on different subjects, so I'm going to take that out of idea because it doesn't really go there. The media, we want to do a media blitz, and we want to use the reference USA. So we are looking for a 2nd idea.
You have to be careful with, always be careful with the word exposure. So, and I'll give you some information about it when we deal with my business partner, his other business. He kind of teases me, because I'm like, they joke with me about it, I don't do anything for free, right? Because I did a lot of free stuff for years to get exposure, and then I realized you get document exposure.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to do it with a purpose. It's not just, you want to, one of the best purposes, if you got to monetize it, because that's what a business is, it's there to generate money.
Money.
Correct.
Being.
Without that, it's, you know.
It's a hobby.
It's a hobby, and actually a mentor of mine says that treat your business like a business, pays like a business, treat like a hobby, pays like a hobby.
Awesome. Love it.
Yeah. So you want to, so I'm real particular about the word exposure, but I know what you're talking about.
Okay.
So I'm just, but I'm, you know, I always want to say that.
Or should we not look for anything going beyond what you've already shared for us because we don't want to not make money?
Well, you want to, if you, so like, okay, so when you talked about being nominated, when we talked about that whole thing.
Oh, you did tell us that. Maybe
right.
That was the 2nd idea.
Right.
Okay.
I'll give you a couple more ideas, but it's, you want to, you just want to be very careful with, because what happens is when you want exposure, and people sense that, right,
mm-hmm.
they'll have you doing all this nonsense to give you exposure. Meanwhile, it benefits them and doesn't benefit
you,
right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it needs to be mutual. You know, it needs to be back and forth. Otherwise, at some point, one party gets annoyed. So, which is why money is the easiest way to, you know, get paid for their services.
Okay.
So.
Boy, I really wish you would have read the book. Because the next set of questions I had to ask were specifically about the book.
Well, awesome. I mean, it's...
Well, you didn't read it.
Well, here's the thing, though. I'm a marketer, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm in different little niche markets. And again, like I said, it doesn't matter whether you're selling ice cream, candy, a book, speaking services. So the process is the same. You have to generate a lead, right? You have to get somebody interested. You have to communicate with them and then move them through some sort of funnel, through some sort of sales process until they buy. So,
about changing some things in a book, I want to change a few things in the book, a few of the stories. But I guess that's something more for me and Nicole to discuss.
Yeah, the question you need to ask how to market it. That's the question you want to ask.
I think the age group that we will try to capture would be 35 to 45. I think that is the group that is going to truly embrace what we have to offer. I think that is the group whose attention we will captivate. I don't think it's gender specific.
But
men really do have to see something tangible for them to necessarily be engaged, from my experience. Women are a little bit different. So I don't want to eliminate men altogether.
Right. Now, you don't want to eliminate men because you...
I think me, as far as this book goes, I think that the stories in here, because some of the stories are told from a man's perspective. All the stories are not coming from the voice of women.
Right, but, okay, so the synopsis of the book is man is not there for whatever the particular reason.
Not necessarily. The book really talks about how important a father is. You hear all kinds of things like, oh, it's the mama's fault. Not necessarily.
Right.
And me and not really understanding their significance or their role.
See, but I think you have two audiences.
Okay. I like that.
You have two audiences. You have men as one audience that needs to be communicated to you in a particular way, because if it's all about men, right, that's one audience.
Mm-hmm.
The second audience is who they provide for, who needs a man, right? So that's the second audience.
Everybody.
Right. Is it children? Is it a family structure? Is it
everybody?
Right. Is it women between ages this and this? Okay. So if you now this is copy stuff, and this is like, you know, and you also can't be afraid to create controversy and stuff.
No.
All that type of stuff. So, but it's something, again, if it just top of my head, but something along the lines of, you know, something like every problem we face on this planet is because of a man, right?
That's so
right.
Funny that you said
something
that.
Like that.
We were at a women's breakfast, and I was a keynote speaker, and one of the mothers got up and she made that statement. She's 75 years old, so you have to respect her words.
Mm-hmm.
She said 95% of a woman's problems is a man. A man you got, a man that you want, a man that you got that you don't want, a man that you don't want that you need to want. And she said something else, and I mean, she brought the whole house down with it because, and of course, it was really only one man there.
Right.
And he was a speaker too, but.
But that's fine.
It was comical, and it was funny, and it was true. And how she said it, it wasn't all like relationship. It was kind of like your son, your brother, your father. It was just like me.
Right.
So I like that. So we have two audiences, men and women. When we try to appeal to them, do we appeal to them separately?
Separately. Because it's two different people. If you want to, again, in marketing, I always use, we call it list segmentation. Okay? So you want to take your list, your audience, your people.
List segmentation.
Right.
If you
want to break it down because, so I have a list of 1,000 people on my list. 300 of them have given me money, right? 400 have shown interest. I need to speak to them differently. So the people that have given me money hear one conversation. The people that are about to give me money or close to it, right, they need to hear something else. But if you talk to everybody the same way, there's less of a connection there. Because now you're talking about what we talked about earlier, in general, right? But you don't, in this case, you don't want to be general. You want to be very exact and precise with your message.
All right. Tell me if this is silly of me to think, or sexist of me to think. We can appeal to men very quickly.
Oh, you take advantage of
it. We capture their eyes. We capture their attention. Whether they're listening to us or not, they're acting like they are.
Right.
I do want to go after that market
right.
because I think it's easier for us.
Right.
To get to them first. Is that wrong for me to think that?
No, that's exactly what you do. You take advantage of every advantage that you have. We all have different advantages, right? And it's foolish not to take advantage of it. You know, so if that's an advantage that you have, and that's, so speaking or anything, you want to start with an earthquake, and you want to build from there. So, you want to figure, the first thing you have to do is get somebody's attention. You can't build rapport, you can't do anything unless you get their attention. So I was doing a youth conference a couple months ago. So I walked out, it was a business thing. I said, he wants to learn how to make money. He wants to learn how to change ones and hundreds. And he's like, yeah, I want to learn how to make money. I said, no, I'm serious. Right? So I said, who has $1? So young girl, she's out 13, 14, gives me $1. I changed it into a $100 bill to give it back to her. So we're going to talk about making money today.
Mm-hmm.
I have their attention.
Right.
I had everybody's attention. I had their attention. Right. I had their attention until the event was over. They surrounded me, you know, right? So you want to figure out how to get their attention. If that's one way of doing it, that's what you use because everybody's not able to do it. So
I see it. In my mind, it's just like men tell me the same thing over and over and over again. I hear that same thing. You're so strong. You want to know what makes me who I am? This is my story. A man is 75% more likely to have a daughter than he is a son. I don't know why girl baby does want to come in. But you can figure yourself so many more women than men.
Yeah, so you definitely have two audiences there, and you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Still that same age group, though. I think we.
So what else do you have? You said you have a website.
We have a website. We have a Facebook page. We have a Twitter account, and we have an email address.
Okay.
We certainly will. You can inbox us on Facebook or Twitter, and we can read. Like, we'll do a little mentoring with women. Nicole is married. I'm single, and she's been married for a long time too. Since she was 30, I think she got married when she was 30. So we offer that. We can offer that contract.
Yeah, right, but again, that's two different audiences, and that's good because you can talk about being married, staying married. You're married, single, not divorced.
I'm just single.
Single, okay. You can
not
talk
for
about,
long, but I
okay. know. You can talk about that aspect of it,
uh-huh.
right? So that's two different. And again, it's whatever you're willing to share. Because people aren't, you know, like a friend of mine, he has this very interesting story. he's fine sharing it, but his wife isn't. You know, about that, they gave away some bunch of money. And that's fine, but just be willing to, you know, everybody again has to be on the same page about that.
No, she would love to talk about the fascinating story of how her 6 week whirlwind romance has resulted in a 15-year marriage. That's a profound story, and women love to hear that.
See, but that's also, you can monetize that, right? Exactly what you just said. How to take how I turned my 6 week whirlwind romance into a 14-year marriage. Happily, 15-year marriage, happily with the same man, kids, blah, blah, blah. So, that's different than this, but that's, you want to look at your business as a satellite, you know, as a, you know, a center, and you have other things that satellite around it, right? That could be another profit stream around your business, right? Just that aspect of it,
mm-hmm.
Right? You also have a story, something else that you're good at, something else that you do, that could also create another business. You could, once you get people into your funnel, like, and that's what a book is good for, once you get them into your funnel, mm-hmm. Once they're with you, they'll listen to you about everything. Even if you know nothing about that particular subject, they will turn to you looking for information about that subject.
Mm-hmm.
And when my mentor says, what's the phrase, he says, people are walking around with their umbilical cord in their hand looking for a place to plug it in.
Mm.
Right? They want to be connected with somebody, want to be connected with something, right? And if you are that person, if you are a leader, if you are, you know, somebody that people want to connect with, you know, again, not taking advantage of it. That's the thing I'm very serious about, is not taking advantage of people, because there's a fine line between manipulation for good and bad, right?
No.
But
I don't have that kind of spirit anyway.
Yeah, but you have all these other little satellite things that you could do around this, around the book, that, you know, you could definitely do the conferences, all the, I mean, it's all there. I mean, it's just a matter of how much hustle you're going to put into.
I'm about to hustle hard, because I'm about to have some time on my hands, and one of the things that, what my prayer has been every day is to keep me in a place of calmness. I don't want to get into a panic mode, because I know my job is coming to an end. I relentlessly pursued success in corporate America since I was just such a young girl. So to have this come upon me now, and it's not the first time I've lost a job, because I've worked in corporate America for quite some time. My son was little at the time. I had a mortgage. I bought a house when I was really young. I had a car. I worked at the bar when I went to school. I was a bartender, and I had another little job, and I was planning my baby. I was go hard or go home, because I was determined. I don't have to do that anymore. I have a couple of dollars that I can kind of sit back and take my time, and I keep saying, calm yourself, Karina. Calm down.
Yes.
Don't throw your resume out there in the pool of a million resumes and have somebody present something to you, and it sounds good on the outside, and it turns out to not be what you want. I'm not going to have 3 or 4 more jobs in my lifetime at this point, nor am I going to accept a job that's not indicative and doesn't represent my level of education and what I can bring to the table. It doesn't make any sense for me to do that anymore.
Right.
But if I panic,
well,
that's what I'm going to end up doing.
Right.
I know myself. And too, you know, I don't want to be a lover of money. It's not always about
the
resource.
Money. It's a resource. That's all.
Well, I didn't take Hong Kong it took me, because I chased it for so long. I'm a product of my environment. Money was everything.
Mm-hmm.
Money was status, beauty. It was just money. So you start off, if I hit 30,000, you know, because that was a put salary at one point, it's like, this ain't enough.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I need 40,000. Then your numbers start going up, and every time God put me at that level, it didn't take me long to say, it's something else I'm needing in my life to sustain me, because this is not it. So, you know, here I am.
Of course, you don't have it, right? Then you don't have it.
Okay. So that's what I'm telling myself, don't panic. So Nicole and I have the ability to be successful in anything that we do. Anything that you truly want. Time and permanent, you can get it.
Well, here's
$100,000, $100 million. If you truly, truly want it and you're ready to put it in, it can be attained.
It can be attained quicker than, I mean, yeah, it's, the money's very easy to make. It's not difficult. I think it becomes easier to make when you have a business because you're kind of in control of certain aspects of it.
Than it is to try to work for somebody because you're making them money.
But it's not even that you're making them money. I think I'm good with if somebody, you know, I'm good with making other people money and making because, so if people are hiring me and want to contract me to go speak and, you know, so there might be a meeting planners or whatever, and I pay them a commission, you know, that's fine because that's going to, you know, more, that's going to encourage them to use my services again. So, yeah, no, money, it comes and goes. It's easy to make. I think, personally, my mindset is, okay, how much money you have? I'm speaking with myself. Act like you're broke, right? So you're making it, but not so you necessarily need it.
I live far below what I can afford to live.
Right. Yeah. The way, you know, I mean, most people don't.
Most people don't. I was living in a big, lavish, three-level townhouse and some haters started happening at my job. And I was like, oh, let me scale down. You know, Trayvon, we don't need this. And he's going to be out the door. As soon as he can get out that door, me not saying, didn't I tell you? I'm working on that. That's another story. I had a car that was paid off. Well, I settled with the mortgage company and bought my house in Detroit. It was a little bit, a teeny tiny little house that was a starter home for me and Trayvon. But what it provided was a street that was 87% owner occupied. I was the youngest person on the block. I mean, these people aren't going to die in these houses. It was warm and it was friendly. These are people who could watch Trayvon, recognize him, say, get out of the street. Where your mama? You're not supposed to be doing that. I bought the house. I put a lot of money and a love into it. It wasn't worth anything. I bought it. Well, I don't have a lot of credit. I just had the house and I had a student loan. So I brought the house. Well, unbeknownst to me, that knocked me down 120 points. Now I don't have any revolving credit. I just have an installment loan. I got the car. Well, I didn't know that 2.5 years later. I just needed it to have some good credit because I didn't have any credit cards for either. So I got a plan to financially take care of that. So I have made some good decisions. I made some solid financial decisions, but I've worked at a bank for 7 years. I've heard every single horror story. We see celebrities. We sign non-disclosure. Non-disclosure agreements from them. All this so stupid stuff. I'm like, I'm not about to be bragged in a tunnel at the middle of the night. It's people out here that need help. Because they live in a $1 million house and have a true income of $75,000 a year after it's all said and done. You know what I mean? Getting this house.
Quarter show comes to mind with me. And I took a picture with him recently or something. And I said, it's hard to believe this man ran through $300 million.
Did you see the Mike Tyson
Undisputed?
No. That the HBO show? It is his Broadway play, and Spike Lee has taped it in.
Oh, no, he's just up there talking. And no, I wanted to see that. I remember hearing that. Well, I forgot about that.
I tried to get Trayvon to watch it.
That's real for a lot of people, whether they make $200 million or not. That's very real. But I think the real security is knowing you could go make it again. That's where the security comes from. It's not in making it. People can take it for a variety of different reasons. You can be sued. You can be all sorts of different. I mean, we're doing what we were doing and went through our little situation.
I could get sick and be worried about my life and not care 2 cents worth of what my bank account held because I would be trying to hold on to my life. That's how I think about it. I can't can't take it to heaven, and I can't barter my way out of hell with it. I do want to live comfortably, and I love nice things. I love hair. I love nails. I love makeup. I love decent neighborhood. I don't want to have to lay on the floor. But I've just come to realize that I really don't need, I don't need all of that, because it doesn't bring me that kind of joy.
Well, it, I knew you guys were in and out when I was doing my speech. But I always. They were selling books off there.
That's funny. I mean, here you go. Folks, somebody like, look, I'll tell you, put that in your purse, and if you don't.
See, they probably just thought they were. They got to give you a little credit. But one of the things I shared that with them was I said, my favorite quote right now, I told you all. The money will solve problems that not having money creates. Okay. So a lot of the challenges that people are faced with, you know, had you had the money, it wouldn't be a problem. Right? So it's not about, you know, making a million and keeping it. It's not about that. It's more about a resource, because I personally look at it as a resource. But a lot of the issues, not people, we, people have, and mm-hmm. will have, are, you know, I mean, if you could, not everything's about money, but if you could solve it by, if you had, you know, 10 bucks and you're hungry, as opposed to zero, you know, if you had the 10 bucks and you could buy yourself a meal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. We want to do an event. I wanted, of course, to result in a monetary gain. We can do it in Detroit, which, okay, we can have family in Cold Springs. That is where we both originally ran from. So we know a slew of people there. Things are hard in Detroit right now, though. They are really on their knuckles financially. And some are not. It's like, it's not a lot of money. It's not a lot of money. And, of course, we would be providing a venue. Nicole is not a drinker. She would never allow any type of alcoholic beverage. I mean, I'll drink some wine. God drank wine, and there's a wedding, and turn the water into wine. And I know that good wine loosens people up, and they are more likely to spend $12.99. We could do it there, but I would like to kind of kick off a campaign and do it where I think would generate the most money. Get some lucky things, get some bugs on. Maybe plan something for March. Income tax time return, good time. This is a time where people are just, you know, it's spring. The winter is coming to an end, and it's a good time. It is a good time in the financial world. That is, we crank it into high gear. Contact people. People pick up the phone. Their moves are much better. You get a better response. I don't know if we could do it here, though. I mean, and I have a group. Of course, I have a group of friends. I have some good business contacts. Where would you do it at?
I mean, I like to live right down Camp Creek. There's hotels. They're right off the highway. They're cheap. We did an event last year. It was down by the airport.
I mean, keep in mind, the sound bites that I have given you. We are both from Detroit, so we could have a larger crowd there. But if we can create some bars and get media to come, et cetera, maybe Atlanta is the hub that we need to do it in. Or do you think that matters?
You can do it wherever you want. I mean, you could literally do it. I mean, wherever you want to do it, you could do it and make it happen. If you have an audience, right? An audience that you have a relationship with. Now, when I say relationship, not just, because what a lot of people do, so what a lot of people do is they depend on their friends and family to come to the event to do stuff. And that's great, but once that resource is gone, right? All right, girl, I went to your event last time. I went to this one. All right, you got about two events out of them. Now you're in what I call the real world, and you got to start marketing to strangers, right?
We are at that point.
Okay. So I'm of the belief system, you start there first.
Start in your world.
You start there first because you could always, I always have people I could, you know, call up.
That I know.
Right. But you can fill the room. You just need bodies. You can just fill the room. But you want to start with strangers. So if there's women groups, I mean, if you wanted, so you said you're speaking now, or you have spoken at different events?
Yeah, we often get asked to speak.
Okay. Are you collecting audience information?
Yes.
All that, so you got not just email. You want email, but
yeah,
you also
email phone number.
Okay.
But these are already two people who have, like you said, come to an event of ours.
And that's good.
Okay.
No, that's good. Because somebody who's already given you money is the easiest person to get more money from.
Really?
Yeah. If you, what a lot of us do is we spend our time, I'll give you a better example in a second, but we spend our time trying to get new people when, in fact, we ignore the people that have already proved themselves worthy.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So when I mentioned to you at Philadelphia, I talked about one of the, you should come to Atlantic City and see my street magic show and all that.
Yeah.
Weather gets long. Mm-hmm. One of the things people do down there is tip me. Is they give me $1, $2, $5, $20, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And for a number of years, I stopped doing it. And then they called me and I'm doing it. But for a number of years, I stopped doing it. And I kind of had some hang-ups about it. I said, $5,000, $6,000, but it is why. Like, why do this, right? And it was a friend of mine, a mentor of mine, and he said, Eric, well, one, we met this way, right? We met. He saw me doing that. He saw me performing. But he said, you said by your own, you know, your best clients have come from that environment. So I have a product I'm working on now, how I turned a $2 tip into $112,000 in business. They've already proven themselves. It doesn't matter what the amount is, right? It's the fact that they've started the process. So one thing we do in online marketing is you just got to get the credit card out, right? You just got to get it out, right? So if you're online and doing all this and we want somebody to buy something online, if you say, look, we're going to give you a free product for $1,
mm-hmm.
right? They've invested the dollar already. The credit card's out. Now you could start selling them other stuff because now it's out in front of them. So now if I make an offer for something for $12.99, the odds of them getting it shoots up dramatically
mm-hmm.
because you already got a bump from all of it. It's another 12, right? So you want to definitely deal with the people that have already given you some money. You don't want to ignore them. They've already proven themselves, right? Somebody who hasn't given you, somebody, the person who looks at the book and reading the whole book right there in front of the table, taking up space and all that stuff, you know, telling them, oh, I'll get it. Oh, I'm going to get it next time, you know. You don't ignore them because they express an interest, but you definitely want to keep the people who give you some money. So you want to email them. You want to, if you want to do an email blast, you have their information. You know, I don't know, would you have an AWeber account or a copy contact or anything? Okay, go to AWeber. Write down AWeber.com. Their email,
you can create an email list.
Service provider, right.
What was the other name?
Constant Contact. AWeber is much better. And there's a bunch of them out there, but those are the two most popular, and AWeber is, like, great. And it's, like, depending on the plan, I think it starts at 9, 14, 19 bucks a month or something. I don't know what it is. And you could just put your contact in there and start a relationship with them. Say, hey, you know, I'm back at such and such event, you picked up the book, I just want to say thank you.
I want to send out a Christmas email blast to everybody that purchased the book. Me and Nicole, we did a photo shoot and we have some really pretty pictures. And I wanted to send that out. I want to say thank you for purchasing this book, and yes, to say we're going to have some upcoming events, so that is not a bad idea to do that.
No, you want to do it because it starts a relationship, and the book has been out how long? A few months?
A month and a half.
A month and a half, right. As soon as the better.
Okay.
So you want to create a to-do list, and you want
to
look at it.
How do you send out, that's
us, me and Nicole,
and our children. Would this be an inappropriate picture
to
kind of send out?
Because
I'm like, everybody's
a
baby.
No, you make it first. I talk about my kids. Okay, let me go grab some for my car real quick.
Okay.
No, you can do that. You just, put my keys on my coat.
Anyway, we took some pictures this summer, and it's just me and her two little girls and my son.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, we could send these out with the email blast just to say, kind of like, thank you. And people just love children. Her girls are so pretty. My son, not bad on the IG.
It's funny, I was looking at it. I said, you look familiar. And also, too, obviously, the name is Trayvon is big right now.
I can't be crazy. He's just like, Mommy, I can't keep me in the house forever. I'm like, right.
Yeah.
My mama would be like, go to the gas station. He's like, Grandma over here tripping, Mama. She won't let me go to the gas station. I'm like, you know, we can't keep him locked in the house, but I was fearful. I'm like, when you get on a train, don't tell nobody what your name is, and you don't wear headphones, and you look at everybody, especially the white people. He like, I would be glad when this little time, you know, kind of passes.
Yeah.
Because it's rough out here to be named Trayvon. I'm like, huh? He's like, where you going? Like, mommy, I'm 20, I'm 17 years old now. And I'm like,
I'm going to get there. Oh, no, I get it. I said, people don't get it until you have kids. Then you're like, oh, okay, I've always liked kids. Love them. But when you have them.
I'm so tired of chasing this boy around. I've been chasing this boy around for 7 years. I'm tired.
Yeah.
Now I'm chasing the girls away. Love, but nothing else for it. Anyway.
So talking about the picture, personality in your marketing is key.
Okay,
you don't want to talk about, you know, a friend of mine, financial planner, sent out his monthly newsletter through email.
Mm-hmm.
And he's talking about stats and that nobody wants to hear all that.
Nobody wants to hear that.
Right, nobody wants to hear that. It's better that he does something than not, but you want to make it personal.
Mm-hmm.
So I just went and got my hard copy newsletter, which is, so when you talk about, you know, your family, the thing on George Carlin back there was, so you look at that, that's all personal stuff.
The magic letter. I like it.
Very simple, very, you know. But I have never sent this thing out and not made money from people calling me, you know, oh, yeah, I got your newsletter. You use your session, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Never. Something always comes from it. So, but the point I want to point out is, and I rushed to get this one out because I was...
May I keep this? Is that okay? Okay, because I want to send this to McCullough.
I rushed to get it out. Let me, you can look at that. I need to keep that address.
Okay.
Yeah, just keep the address. Make sure I get the correct one on there.
Oh, this is how you send it?
Yeah. Yeah, still cost 46 cents, whatever it is.
So you sent an actual letter. Okay.
A physical letter. Here's why. That's another point I want to get to. Is, how many email addresses do you have?
I probably about 30.
Okay. How many do you use on an active basis for different? Obviously, they're for different stuff. You probably have 3 or 4 you use for...
For us? How many email addresses do we have?
No, I'm sorry, email addresses. I'm sorry.
For contacts.
No, how many do you have personally? Not
for the business?
No, just for you.
Oh, I have 2.
Okay.
And I have, of course, one for work, but I don't
right.
have anything to
okay.
there. I have a Gmail and I have a Yahoo.
Right. Have you changed them recently?
No.
Okay. Most people have a couple, 2, 3, 4, you know, in that range. But I'd say how many physical addresses?
One.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's easier to change an email address rather than physical address. The other thing is, this has a shelf life, right?
Because it's a piece of mail.
So they may not read it when they first get it. I don't expect them to. I just gradually throw it around.
Until they say, oh, yeah, that's
but it's, you know, they never pick it up. It's on their wall. It's a marriage. Now I'm on their mind. I don't care if they open it up or read it or not. The fact is here's me, but now I'm on their mind.
Mm-hmm.
Like a mentor says, you want to, and I just heard this recently, but he said, you want to set your, you want to imagine your client or potential client looking in 360 degrees, you know, in their environment, and they got to see something of you there. Something of you there. At some point, so you're always on their mind. The other thing with email is it doesn't have a shelf life. When people check email, they're kind of going down the list, right? So they open up their email, go to that kind of
go
to the next, right?
Delete, yeah, okay.
As soon as they go to that next email, yours is gone, right? If they don't respond or whatever you ask them to do in that email, the odds of them doing it is slim. So the other issue with email is getting it delivered, you know, these things get caught in spam folders and all that. So that on average, only 30% of email gets delivered.
Okay.
So you want to do both. You don't want to just not do email, but you definitely, you know, there's a cost to it. There's, you know, but you start where you are. So if you have, you know, 30 now, the 30 email addresses, and you say, look, we're going to start a physical newsletter. you know, now people look at it as a publication, right? It's a different, it's, mm-hmm. you know, it's a different,
Let's say somebody says, okay, Carita, we want you to come and speak, and so, of course, I come from church, and et cetera, et cetera, but I know my pastor gets paid. I want to get paid to come and speak sometime.
Not sometimes, all the time.
I feel slightly torn. And when they don't offer, you know, in the past I haven't said, you know, I haven't asked. I'm waiting for the donation or whatever, and it doesn't come. And then I feel kind of slighted, like, look.
Which is what we talked about earlier. It has to be mutual on both sides. Otherwise, one person starts to feel, you know.
Oh, yeah. Amen. So, is it unprofessional? Because Nicola is so big into this, like, oh, don't do this. And it's like, relax. Is it wrong to say that we have a $200 fee for 30 minutes of speaking?
Would you go to your job, right? And they said, okay, we just want you to come in every day. We ain't getting good check.
Well, that wouldn't be my job.
Well, how long would you last?
I wouldn't go, period.
Right. Okay. So, Nicola, she went, you know, if she woke up tomorrow and said, no, we still want you to come in every day, do everything you're doing, but we just want you to donate it. How long is she going to be there? Okay. So, I'm making a point, obviously. Mm-hmm. So, I had somebody, call me up, wanted me to donate my services or something, whatever. And she kind of like jumped on me like, well, how dare you charge money? I said, don't you work for the government? She said, yeah. I said, you're not even doing what you're asking me to do. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, you're getting paid. Why should, there's nothing wrong with getting paid. And that's the mindset you have to take. There's nothing wrong with getting paid. Now, the second thing is kind of into that. Is it okay to ask for a couple hundred bucks in 30 minutes? Okay. So you have to get out of your mind. Okay, so just say, I'm an entrepreneur now. I'm a business owner. Okay, I'm a business owner. And I don't care how many jobs you've had, right, even being salaried and so on, you've probably somehow figured out a way to break it down to what you were making per hour.
Mm-hmm.
Right, the more you made, the more you, you know, so you're able to start making X number of dollars per hour. Well, as a business owner, as an entrepreneur, you work on a different paradigm.
Right. It's a paradigm shift.
It's completely different. It's not based on a per hour thing. It's based on the value that you bring to the table. Okay, so you just, so when you guys talked about the mindset shift and, you know, that's what everybody needs. So I'm all about the mindset shift. But people really pay for that. So it's the mindset shift you have to make is it's the value that I bring to the table. It's not a per hour thing. Okay. So with that being said, I mean, you could do a couple hundred bucks. You could do, I think, you have a computer?
Mm-hmm.
Is it, you want to go look at it real quick?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm sorry, big men tend to make these chairs drop. I don't have the upper body strength to screw them, and I wouldn't ask you to work for it. So it's just the only thing. So, hold up, sit here. Okay, so if you see something that's close to me, it's not going to be pulled up.
Yes, get out of the chair. This is the housing that went out that stop by. And this is a secret here. This is one of the largest secret heroes in the world.
Better than zero, you know.
But if I say a low number like that, it would give the appearance that naive or...
Well, no, it depends on who you're talking to. So here's the thing about speaking. And how much time do you guys? I'm good on time. I just don't want to take...
Oh, I have nothing. My job is... This is one reason why I've had a separation letter. I do nothing all day. Would you like something to eat? I can make you a sandwich. I have turkeys and hard salami, wheat bread.
I'll eat a sandwich.
You will eat a sandwich?
Turkey.
Okay. I'm sorry, it's not turkey. It's
Chipotle
chicken bread or either
heart
or lot.
Either one, whatever you feel like using.
Would you bread or onion rolls?
I do bread is fine.
Okay, so that is good to know. I would like to really start doing more speaking engagements. I did have the opportunity to speak at the event. I let Nicole go ahead and take the time that was offered. So I didn't speak, and I spoke at the last convention, of course, that we had. So I would like for us to start charging. Hey, see, I don't want us to do things for free anymore.
Yes.
I think charging a fee sets a standard or an expectation for us. Am I saying that right? Am I using it wrong?
Yeah. And no, it's we did this thing in our seminar. You've been speaking to me all day, right?
Oh yeah, that's like $150.
Yeah, now it's
thank you. Okay,
you are
I'm gonna write that down.
So I have been paid to speak. Price is relative, right?
Price is relative.
So for some, you charge them $100, and you know, in their mind, they're thinking $100 an hour. A lot of people, there's ways to eliminate that thought process, but so they're giving you a lot of money,
In their mind,
right? They're giving you a lot of money. So price is relative, but in the speaking world, well, one is the speaking is the highest paid profession. It is the highest paid profession out there. It's the highest paid profession out there. And people, there's speakers that you don't realize are speakers. So when you think about a newscaster, right? They are literally reading off a prompter. Literally reading off a prompter, right? And you know, Monica Kaufman here in Georgia, I don't know, she covers $1 million a year, you know.
Is that? Yeah. Monica Kaufman.
Yeah. And, you know, so you think about radio hosts, Frank Ski, you know, he's not on the radio anymore, not here, but, you know, he was up.
He's not on the radio anymore here.
He's, somebody just sent me something. They did not renew his contract.
He was wax.
Well, yeah, he's been on radio for so long. But again, upwards of $1 million a year. Not talking about that was just his salary with the station. Not talking about the other speaking engagements, the other little things he had in orbit around that allowed him to generate. And I would predict probably at least another $3,000 to $5,000 a year.
Okay.
So
tell me honestly, you've met me, you've met Nicole, you see what you're capable of, and this is like no formal training. This is what we do. Do you think this is something that we could do?
In speaking to this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's not even you, right? No, you're very personable, you're attractive ladies, you have a story to tell, you have a book which is like more important than anything.
So we have to make
you have everything. You've already spoken in front of people, right? I would tell that to anybody, right? You already have things in place that a lot of people don't have already. A lot of what you have to get over is your own stuff that's here. Just, you know, okay, can I get paid? So, yes. Yeah, here's how you get paid. You just say, I'm not going to do anything else for free. You have...
I'm going to tell Nicole that. I'm like, you know, praise God, we need to be making money. He's an evangelist, too, so... I'm just going to talk to her about that, and that's, you know, that's between her and I, but I don't want her to do anything else for free.
Don't do
it's
it for
like,
free.
No.
Just say no. I mean, if there's a reason for it, right, if there's a purpose behind it, like, there might be one more free thing you guys want to go to.
Maybe I'm going to write that down, and I'm going to pray about that. One more free thing. But after that...
Well, no, here's what it is. Don't even do it if you don't get this. Right. Here's what you want in your next speaking engagement.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I can tell you how to get it without doing it, but here's a video.
Awesome.
That's it. That's your last speaking engagement. That's going to be your fee.
And that's a video of us.
Of you guys speaking for as long as you're. I don't care if it's 10 minutes, an hour, 3 hours. You just take. I don't care if it's you taking a camera, her standing back there while you're doing.
We do have something of me, but I think it would be beneficial of us having something together.
Okay, well, now the thing you need to look at, though, is, you know, I'm going back now, residency, partnership, you know, if, now obviously you guys and cousins have been together forever, but if you don't want to put yourself in a position where you can go do something or she can go do something and you can't, because the presentation is based on that. So you want to have a version that you can do, a version she could do, and a version that you could do together. If you want a video just to show people just want to look at stuff. It doesn't have to be fancy and edited.
Would it be cool for us to do something on YouTube?
You.
Or link something to our Facebook and our Twitter?
Ideally, you want something in front of an audience of you actually doing it, right? Now, it's better to have something than nothing, so if it's staged and you just have a camera and you're just talking, that's fine. But ideally, if it's somebody who's paying you to come speak and, you know...
We want to have a video.
Yeah, you want to have a video of you doing something. Now, I don't care if it's a career day.
Yeah.
I don't care what it is. You just want to see a camera and you talking, right? You could... mute the talking and you just do voiceovers over it, you know. But you want to see people, you want to see an audience, you want to see people doing this, you know.
Expression.
Right. You want to see people engaged, right? That's what you want. It doesn't have to be people complicated, right? People go spend literally $10,000 on a video to have a video done.
Mm-hmm.
Don't do that. Your video should just be you speaking in front of
an audience. Natural, authentic.
Natural, right. Just doing what you're doing in front of an audience. You don't have to complicate it. People tend to complicate it.
Okay, so you just saying this to me is pushing me in a different direction, and I hate that she has to get off the call. I don't know how well she's just going to embrace that. But maybe this is what we need to focus on. Speaking.
Well.
Developing, creating a, I don't want to say a fan base, but creating a reputation in that area.
Well, the book is important, right? You have the book.
Because we have presented the business model to you of what we wanted to do with the... Or would that be something that would greatly benefit our speaking appeal?
The book.
The business model about the chapters, the very large book club and the chapters in the city.
Okay, well, here's how I kind of envision it.
If I'm not looking at you, I'm really listening.
You're thinking. The easiest way to sell a book is to go speak. So, when you guys are at the event, I was technically at your event, and Nicola went up there and said she spoke for,
4 minutes.
4 minutes. As soon as they took a break, you guys were swamped with people buying books.
Yes.
That is the easiest, next to being an Oprah or something. That type of stuff.
We will be there.
Yeah. That is the easiest way to sell a book because people want a piece of you, right? They want to take some of you with them.
Uh-huh.
Like, had I had physical books there,
you'd have sold out.
I'd have sold a lot more books. And I was mad I didn't have them, but I technically sold them anyway. So that is the easiest way to sell a book, okay? The other opportunity it gives you is when you are hired to speak for an organization, you will have, I think it was 900 something books I sold to a group in one block. So they bought them. It wasn't even wholesale. They spent, 10, 12 bucks a book. But you can only do that when you have a book. Right? So, and I'm trying to, I know you can get all this. I'm just trying not to overwhelm and because there's a lot happening here. So they pay for the speaking fee, right? That's one income stream. They buy books. That's the second income stream. Okay? I have another book, but I could have another book, an audio program or whatever, that I sell at the event. That's a third income stream.
Mm-hmm.
All from the same...
One speaking engagement.
One speaking engagement, right? That's not talking about follow-up stuff and, other things that can happen, follow-up events and all that type of stuff. But you can only do that when you have a book, because... One, the book will also get you speaking engagement that you wouldn't have otherwise gotten because you have a book. Right? So if you and I, if I don't have a book and you have a book and you're both looking at us for the speaking engagement, we're in the same, fee range, we're just at the $5,000 range. And, they're going to go,
Right, because I have a book.
You have a book, right? Mm-hmm. They're going to go with you. There's no doubt about it. And there's things you can do with a book that you just cannot do. So the event Phyllis has seen me at, I did this with the book I had. I talked with her about it. She didn't have a budget or whatever. She said, they'll buy. It didn't matter. But one of the things I do is I customize the cover of the book for the event I'm speaking at.
Hmm.
Okay, so the book is published on demand, so I can do whatever I want. I wish I had one of them to kind of show you. But the book looks a certain way, and I took the picture in a certain way, so when you see the book, you'll see me kind of standing like this, and I have the Club Heart spade diamond throughout the hands and all that. But that picture was taken like that for a reason, because now when I want to customize the cover of the book, I just have my graphics person remove that and put a picture of their logo, me holding their logo in there. All right. So.
I love it.
So now, and I've had people tell me, they ask me, they say, did you write this book just for this event? Right? Now that's powerful, right? But now you have something that has affinity, has a connection with the event.
Mm-hmm.
It's tailored. It's,
mm-hmm.
it's customized, right?
Yeah.
Without any additional work on my end. It's literally like sending an email and saying, here's the logo, put that there.
Yeah.
Like 3 minutes worth of work.
I'm about to ask you a $1 million question. And feel free to say no, because I'm being aggressive and pushy right now. Could you showcase Nicola and I on something that you're going to do, even if it's just 10 minutes?
Maybe.
Or could you push up toward somebody who would love to showcase it?
Well, we're doing a, we have an event we do called Speaking for Newbies. You know, how to make six figures a year if you've never spoken before, blah, blah, blah. So, okay. We're doing, we did not do it this year. We did it in 2012. We have the next one scheduled for, I think it's April or March.
Mm-hmm.
I think I have to look at the schedule. And I'm going to, Mark, I'm going to give you information about the event. If you want to come, it's going to be a 2-day or 1-day event. But it would be very, very wise to go, because you'll kind of see the whole, you have to look at it twice. You have to look at what we're doing and what we're saying and how to get paid as a speaker and the different avenues to get paid as a speaker. That's one, but you also have to look like what we're doing, right? So this event is actually a leading event for another event, a leading event for a coaching program. You know, so it's all kind of a structure. It's kind of a funnel that we're taking people down.
Mm-hmm.
And at that event, we bring people up and have them do stuff. So that's
what I'm talking about.
Right.
Give a testimony.
The last one we did, we had somebody actually come up and speak and tell her story, right? And she had the same question, how to get paid to speak. So she came up and told her story. I just took a lot of money, gave her some money, and said, you're now a paid speaker. We have knighted you. You are a paid speaker, you know. And that's kind of the most thing people have to get. So, yeah, answer your question. No, I have no problem doing that. Mm-hmm. Now, the events like the one I was doing,
we would want to be able to sell our book, too.
So we'd have to talk about that. Mm-hmm.
We would love to do it, whether we can sell the book or not, but we would, of course, want to be able to sell the book, too.
Yeah. There's two routes to the speaking industry.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, there's the fee-paid speaker, mm-hmm. and there's a product sales speaker.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Two different routes. Most people are familiar with the fee-paid speaking, but what you're doing now is you're a product-based paid speaker. I call it pay-for-performance. So you do your performance. If people like it, they buy the book.
Mm-hmm.
You know, okay? Off the top of your head, which one do you think is more profitable? Just not knowing, I understand you don't know.
Probably the fee-paid speaker.
It would appear that way. Okay.
Well, based on what you told me about, you get paid to speak. You sell the book because you customize it for whoever organization you're speaking from. You have other products that you bring with you that you sell to, and you get undeniable contact list from everybody that was there that purchased it. Now you have a continuous possible income stream. Even if you get just one engagement out of it, they're well aware that your fee is. So it goes on. So I guess I'm going to change my, can I change my answer?
Sure.
I'm going to say the product-based speaker.
Product-based speaker. So a friend of mine, top speakers in the world, you would never see them on a website like that. Because there's two, like, those are fee-paid speakers. I'm a fee-paid speaker. I do both, actually. But a friend of mine, he was coming to Atlanta, and he said, Eric, you had to come watch this presentation I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm there. And love this guy, right? And I had another event that day, but I arrived to his event about 30, 45 minutes into his speech.
Mm-hmm.
So about 45 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
There was about 100 people there.
Mm-hmm.
Was in just a little hotel room. And he sold a product at the end of his speech.
Yes.
Okay. He sold $90,000 worth of that product at the end of his speech.
From 100 people?
From 100 people. Now, it was a $3,000 product. Okay. So like 30 of them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And he said, Eric, watch what happens at the end. That's what he invited
me. He wanted you to come take it in.
And I sat there and I said,
And why did you say that?
Because I was familiar with it, right?
The product.
I knew he had products. I wasn't really familiar with the product. But I was familiar with this type of speaking, but I had ignored it, right?
The speaking.
No, I ignored the product sales speaking. I ignored that, right? And I said to myself, I just came from an event. I think, I don't know, I was paid $2,000 for the event I was at. Spoke for an hour. We spoke at the same time. The $3,000, that's still good. Still good.
Mm-hmm.
But this man just walked out of there, damn near $100,000.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I said, I've been missing this thing. And it clicked. It was when I saw him do it that time, it clicked. You know, I'd seen it before, but it didn't. I wasn't watching it the way he said watch it. So when I said you kind of have to go on and watch it for different reasons, and that's when it really hit me. And now, here's the problem with that. That's an extreme case.
Mm-hmm.
Not an extreme case for him. That's very normal for him.
But that would be an extreme case when you are not offering a $3,000 product.
Exactly. Most people don't have a $3,000 product. And if you...
I don't know who thought this is. There you go.
I got a tail between his legs. It wasn't, please.
But I want him away from here. Why is he coming around my door?
And if you had a $3,000 product, so if I was presenting a $3,000 product at the event, you know, Philadelphia, not that somebody there couldn't afford it. It chances are it wasn't the buying audience for that group.
Mm-hmm.
So usually those, if you're spending that kind of money on a product, they're pre-qualified in other ways and they've earned stuff.
That's where the list would come in.
Right.
Because that list is going to tell you something unique about the people on the list, right?
Well, no, it depends on the event. So,
because you could buy a list like that, though, right?
Yes and no. You can. It's a little more challenging to get because you have to find a list of people that are actually putting on different types of events, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm giving you a lot of information.
I'm digressing too. Okay.
But you could. But the point is, you could have a $100 product.
Mm-hmm.
You could have a $97 product. Right, your product can be your seminar, the conference you guys want to put on. Right, so one way to fill a seminar is to go speak at different events, right, and offer whatever it is that you want to offer, and get them into a two-day seminar or one-day seminar, whatever it is. So you go speak for an hour and you lead them. Remember, everything's a funnel. You're going to lead them into something else.
Okay.
So it could be a product. It could be a seminar. It could be a teleseminar.
Okay.
It could be, it's a lot of different. It could be a coaching program.
Okay.
There's lots of different ways you could take it.
Okay.
But the book is the beginning of it.
Yes.
Right, the book is the smallest part of it,
mm-hmm.
right? And so, you know, so when you think about back to the average author sells 250 books,
mm-hmm.
right? And they have the rest of the 10,000 sitting in a garage someplace.
Yeah, we've almost, I was shocked because my spirit was just like, this is the beginning for me. This is my beginning. Or this is our beginning. I don't want to...
It's your beginning.
Yeah, but this is my beginning for what I was born to do.
Please.
Yeah. It has about 6 rules in it, but you can tighten up and stop that squeaky. And there's some on the inside as well. I tried to tighten it up, but in order for you to sit in it, it would need all screws to be hit. And not make that noise. I lost my train of thought. I've just been feeling for quite some time that this is what I was meant to do. You just needed to meet with somebody who does it successfully and can guide us and teach us and train us. We know collectively, individually, we know a ton of people. But there's always a method to anything.
there's a way to do it. There's a way to do it correctly.
And the way to do it correctly. So that was key for us. We also met somebody else that we're going to be having a meeting with, named Ben Davis.
Yeah. Do you know
that? I think sometimes media guy wanting it's equivalent to the.
I think you mentioned him at the thing.
The guy, yeah. Okay, so we're going to be meeting with
him. You guys met on the plane?
Yeah, the guy that I met on the plane. He loved the book. He read the whole book in a 2-hour flight. I mean, he was engrossed and engaged. And like I said, he didn't tell me who he was. He's kind of like playing it down. But I understand why people do that. And he don't know me enough to know that I'm not a starstruck person and I'm just going to want something. Because we do have something to offer. We have something to say.
Right.
We can say it with great articulation. We can get hood with it. That is the audience that we
are. There's an audience for that. There's a whole...
Certainly, I know. Nicole might not be able to do it as well as I can, but we can certainly appeal to that audience. We're not so far removed, from that area that we cannot get down. And they spend money, too.
Oh, yeah. I got a friend of mine. Take pictures, go to
Hot Ghetto Mess, please don't send me a cell. HotGhettoMess.com.
No, Dave. You go to the club, just taking the photos, everybody's doing their little photos and all that. He's there, drug boys in there, everybody trying to impress everybody. They just drop the money like it's ridiculous.
Don't men are very much an intricate part of the economy?
It's a legitimate business.
I know what you mean, but people underestimate just how far that dough goes.
Oh, it's
it goes deep.
Yeah.
Why they messing around up in the hood, trying to raid a little $1,000-a-day house? That's not the area that they really need to be in. If they really wanted to stop the drugs, they need to go.
It's a
to the other neighborhood.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But no, it's what were you saying?
It's a market for them too, and they do spend money.
Yeah.
Like I read all the time. I read everything on that shelf times 10. And if you look, you can see my genre of books. You're like, okay, because I read everything. I don't just read one certain type of thing.
It's good that you read. Most people never have a...
No, I love to read. Reading
is in the wall with titles. So you can't find a TV guide.
No, reading is my thing. It always has been. So I read a different genre of books. And they just always tickled me, so I call them the hood books, like The Millionaire Club Wives, and Whore, and Whore Son of Donald Bowen. I had all that series of, you can't loan books out, especially ones like that, because it's such a collector's edition. It's hard to get them in the bookstore, because they're cheap. They're small, they're thin, and he has about 17 books. But anyway, I read that kind of book, but I read other things too, and it never ceases to amaze me how these hood books are always on the best-selling list, selling over 1 million copies. And you would think that who's interested in hearing about Bebe doing a drive-by? Still in this day and age where we are, but they still sell like hotcakes.
Well, Halle Berry is the perfect example. With his place. There's a whole, and it's funny because people try to move away from like the Chitlin Circuit and all that stuff, but that's a legitimate market. Now, as a marketer, as a business person, you can have multiple markets. So some people know me as, the magician with the message, running from foster care, doing speaking, doing all that type of stuff. Then they know me in the corporate market. That's completely different. It's kind of connected, right?
Keep talking. Kind of connected.
The street magic, I call it street magic rock star market. That's totally different.
Totally different.
There's doing stuff in magicians market and all that, and speakers market, and totally different. But you can be different things to different people, and we oftentimes are. So you have friends that...
How does that play into what you say about the whole lot? You can't be everything to everybody.
Because I'm marketing to different people. I'm not saying the same thing to everybody. So that goes back to list segmentation.
Oh, okay. So you're being something to everybody. You're not trying to be the same thing.
At the same time.
At the same time.
Correct.
And you said you just wanted bread.
Yeah, bread's fine. It's,
mayo or mustard?
Light mayo, light mustard.
Toasted bread?
Ah, no, that's... Whatever you do, I'll let you,
I have no lettuce, but I do have
tomato. That's fine. I just like the, bread and the meat.
Okay.
Cheese? Sure. Whatever you have, it's fine. So yeah, so the other side of that is you can do stuff in different markets. You just have to talk to each market separately.
Each market
is separate. Yeah, each market. And the way to look at it is you have to look at it as separate businesses. So I look at my success in foster care as a business. You know.
And you're from the foster care system. You were a foster child?
Correct. Yes.
Okay.
I look at the Street Magic Rockstar as a business,
mm-hmm.
You know, the corporate stuff as a business. They're separate, you know.
Yes, they're separate.
Yeah, separate businesses, so.
Can you make any other suggestions to me? Or tell me what you think.
I can't figure out if
I
was going to turn out
like
this, but I almost did.
I knew you were going to tell me some of the things that I needed to
hear
that I wanted to hear. About what's possible. You know about the walk,
yeah,
I'm not.
Yeah,
go ahead, thanks. Anything that you think would be, you said
no on the toasted bread? That's fine.
Anything that you think could help us?
Well, one, like you said, that's a conversation with her. You definitely got to get on the same page if I get paid. And I know a lot of people have a lot, and I say that because I know a lot of people have a lot of hang-ups about that.
One of the hang-ups is the fact that we go to church, and we kind of operate in that Christian world. She does not mind to get paid, but she holds the title of evangelist. I do not hold the title of evangelist. However, I have just as much to say. I know the word. So it kind of breaks down like that and doing things for free when the church is involved. It's almost like sort of a theory that says only the pastor should be getting paid for speaking engagement, but I disagree.
I'm a
shell. I'm a pastor, but we do hold some of that type of
Here's how I got around it.
Thank
you. Is
you want two pills or one?
One.
You sure?
She don't mind making another one again. Make another one.
So I have never tried to do that.
So you gotta get on the same page about that. But here's how to get around it is, again, that's a mindset shift. You know, again, we're talking about all mindset shift stuff. If I take out a grand right now and give it to you, you know. I haven't done anything to get it. But I'm saying there's nothing wrong with that. If it's a fair exchange of value, that's another thing to get over, is what's a fair exchange. So when you said earlier, is it okay to ask $200 for 30 minutes? Well, the answer is, of course, yes. But you got to get over, you know, that kind of thought process.
It's almost, for me, I don't speak for myself, I can't speak for Nicole. It was like I was embarrassed to ask, like, dang, how come you didn't offer But that's not who I am. I'm that offer to pay a speaker that had come to speak. I would have paid them.
Well, you see, but again, we live in a world, like, you would do that, right? I would do that. I would, you know, so offer something. So there's, you know, four ways I say that you can profit from anything. You profit financially, profit emotionally, profit spiritually, and profit intellectually, but we don't look at it. Obviously, you profit all these different ways as well. But some people, they live their life trying to figure out how not, right?
How to get everything for free.
Right. How not to pay for stuff.
Yeah.
Right? And they live their life that way. And somebody had pointed out, and I thought, because I never looked at it this way, but as it was, I heard it, I said, wow, that makes perfect sense. Is anybody, and I've been there, I don't know if you've ever been there, but I've been in a survival mode. So I had to survive.
Email on the medium lift. Getting that lift, you said no heart to lung, you know.
Oh, yeah, that's what we're really emphasizing
on that. Getting the medium.
And part of that can start with you just going to, you're not even just going to, just going online, going to 5-5, here and down. I think it's, yeah, let's see, contact with you, like Jan.
Yeah, can you give me a name or anything? And would it be okay for us to reference you, or do you not prefer that?
Well, no, this person wouldn't, if there's somebody I have a personal contact with, just that, like, I know they would know me. Then, yes. But no, she's been in contact with the, I've been on Fox Live a couple of times, and since she's been in contact, I have not been on. I've reached out to her briefly a couple of times. You know, but like any other job, you know, people change positions, but they're not having to be the person in charge now. But the thing you even realize with television is everybody asks the question, like business people, how can I get on TV? And the assumption they make is the television people somehow went out and found the business. When usually what the case is, the business people went and asked to get on TV.
And I've been on TV so many times for things for my job. Are we on CNN?
Mm-hmm.
Many local stations. I've had to clean up so many stupid things my company has done. And usually what we do is try to make it seem like we've done something for somebody, but when it's really, it's something. And, you know, because they had picked up a thing and called the newspaper, it's my job to go out and look for you. And fix it and see highly of how concerned we were. And, you know, we saw this flaw in the system when, you know, that's not going to happen for real.
Yeah. Well, I think I'll be tracking that stuff in at the cost. And it's just, talking to a business.
Mm-hmm.
So, reaching out to those folks, getting on, that's just, like that, like technically free stuff, but you're getting something from it. So what you don't want to
say, Fox 5.
Yeah, Fox 5, 59.
I have some grape juice, or another water.
Another water, fine.
I don't eat a lot of junk food or anything like that. And when I do buy some, I sort of eat it up and like 30 minutes.
Yeah.
I don't have a lot of good.
I go through stages of that. I'll go buy some cakes or.
I just want him to tell everybody he's drunk, and I don't like him to do anything before he goes to school because he acts a fool. He's silly anyway, and he doesn't think that a lot of sugar and stuff makes him silly. And I'm like, that's what it's designed to do.
Mm-hmm.
It's designed to taste good, have him act crazy, so he'll want more because it makes him feel good. He says, Mommy, everything's so serious to you. I'm like, I'm telling you, Trayvon, look it up.
Now, somebody said if sugar was invented today, the FDA would not approve it.
Probably not.
Yeah.
They got cops. They're like the music. You know, you see, I don't understand. So much spiritual stuff with this music. They go cook 50 times in one song. They want you to remember it. And it's all stupid. Rap music anymore. I'm like, I'm not sure I'm going to get some old school rap when it was all about who was the best MC. The
battle rhyme.
The battle rhyme, yeah. I don't want to hear nothing about nobody slamming down no fall. How did that thing? When did Jersey come to this guy? Only a few girls did that, and they really did go to school.
Huh.
It's like a career to have now.
Good sandwich, thank you.
Yeah.
You
know. I know you want to know. Okay, so you said start with the top five. Let's see if we can create some buzz.
Yeah, I mean start, look at TV in the morning, look at the different shows, you know, and just go online.
Good Day Atlanta is one of them.
Good Day Atlanta, there's a good morning something. There's like three or four of them.
Mm-hmm.
But also look at there's, what is it, TNN or not, the Christian channel?
TDN,
okay.
Mm-hmm.
Look at that stuff, you know, because they're looking for content. And that they have to think about it, is they have a lot of time to fill, especially like CNN and Fox and all those, you know, they have a lot of time to fill.
Mm-hmm.
And they're always looking
for. The Word Network is located in Detroit. And I did want to.
I'm sorry, what network?
Word Network. It's kind of 261 on Comcast. So. Mm-hmm. You have a press release as well. So just take a copy of the bullpen of press release?
Basically, I mean, what you would have said, I call it a press letter. A conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And hey, look, my name is such and such. This is what we do. We just came out with a book. But you have to somehow tie it into something. So the other thing I was going to suggest, you can look this up online too, because there's already something out there like this that's great. If not, you create it. And again, you can't be afraid to what I like to call claim your crown. You know, so you got to take something. You're going to take some title and take ownership of it. So if you look at how people are paid and how people make money at the more money somebody makes, you can look at, you know, your own. Well, no, the more money somebody makes, the more specialized they are at something, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's one. So if you look at like a doctor, general practitioner versus a brain surgeon,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's about one is specialized in something.
Mm-hmm.
And the fewer people that can do what it is that you do,
mm-hmm.
even if it's just perceived, the more you make. It doesn't have to be reality. It's just even if it's the perception of it.
It's always perception.
It's always perception. So if you look at athletes, everybody's always making argument about, oh, athletes make more than teachers, that's not the way it should be. They make that kind of money. Because these men, women, you know, these people are, one, they specialize or something, but they're able to do something that few people on this planet can do. Right? So you want to try to put yourself into a category of one. Right? You want to create a category of one if possible. So when I, you know, magician with a message, America's number one illusionist and motivational speaker for the human services industry. Right? That's, now I'm in a category of one. And I created the category. So it doesn't matter who creates the category. It's even better that you do it because you can define it.
Okay, well maybe, not maybe, we need somebody to help us with our press release unit.
What it releases, I mean, there's a great book called, it's a book I used to first get on TV, and I was just looking at it. It's still valid. It's called Six Steps to Free Publicity by Marcia Yetkin, like Y-U-D-K-I-N, something like that. And she offers a great model for building a press release.
Do you use one of those models or did you just do what you just said? But maybe it's not time
for that
yet.
Yeah, it's a lot easier to get out there. Remember we're talking about mindset?
Right.
Are you talking about time for it, like you go on TV or what are you talking
about? Not just on TV, but maybe, I mean,
what would you call ourselves?
Well, we have a very unique company name on
Facebook.
Well. So, maybe we need to specialize in that's something for Nicole and I to talk about based on what you said.
You're also going to have to be very careful with them. Definitely want it to be unique, but
you still record, right?
It should be, like, I don't know, but yeah. You want it to be unique or relevant to what's happening, what's going on.
Well, we are relevant to what's going on now.
Right.
The importance of fathers.
Right, and not just now, because that's an important issue.
Period.
Period. You can look at the statistics of when, you know, I guess the black man got out of the home and all that, you know, from the 60s and all that type of
stuff. Black people not the only ones suffering. They drop more babies off on the porch, pull off, and don't come back than anybody. These black men will show up once, twice a year. So typically when he's showing up, he got something in his pocket. These show up to steal from the mother some more.
Yeah, that was one thing that bothered me when I worked about divorce. Was all of a sudden I said, oh, are we becoming that statistic? You know, and I said, nah, because I know I'm going to see my kids. I know that's not going to not happen.
Women can become silly about things like that. I'm a woman. I've never been married, but I've sat and I've listened and I've allowed women to cry. I've even cried with them sometimes. Babies do give us a sense of power, and it creates entitlement for us with whatever man we have a baby by. We are unique to almost every other woman in his life unless she too has a baby by him, but we are still unique because their baby is not our baby.
Mm-hmm.
It is possible for a man to love his children at different levels. However, it is built in a man's DNA to love too when he brings forth. We are not animals. We are humans. So, with that small amount of entitlement that having these children by this man gives us, we use it as a tool of control.
Right.
Some women do it maliciously and some do it, it's hard not to. It's like, you're not about to be playing me and my baby to the side, like just because you're not getting told my good stuff. you know, now we got to wait until it's convenient. You all need that money today. Like three more days, y'all be evicted. You know, like it's a matter, and a good father is never going to let something even get to that extreme. He's about to have his babies out in the street or living with your cousin, and you know, they don't keep their house clean. He's never going to do that. If that means let you move back in here and him have to look at you every day, it's just what we do. So I feel bad for men, especially black men, because the court is ready to kind of almost see you. It's like, you're going to do this, you're going to do that, you're going to do that. And the man was like, well, you know, I'm willing to do whatever. You know, you're going to do this and you're going to do that. It's tough.
Yeah.
Let me do this too. I tell every man, don't panic, brother. She'll call you, so you have to call her. Every mommy wants a break, and there's nowhere safer to drop them off than with their daddy. So if she get all tough, talking about you can't see him, you tell her, okay, call me when you're feeling better. Next time you call her, she still got an attitude, call me when you're feeling better. She will call you. And she's going to get you like, Eric, I'm going to drop your kids off. And that's every woman.
Well, I mean, I know I don't have it bad in the sense of, there's things I think is crazy, but like, I know people that have gone through.
They're crazy. You ain't just thinking that.
But a friend of mine, she said, when I told her I was getting divorced, she said, even within 10 seconds, she said, she's going to regret that. And she's going to be calling me right back.
Certainly.
And she said, not that long ago, she said, I'm trying to figure out how to get you back in this house.
I applaud her because at least she was honest and open enough to say it out loud instead of doing what we usually do. That's some manipulative tactics that usually involve our bodies. And today, because that's all we really have now.
Yeah.
You know, and hopefully no other savvy tricks that are moved in. You know, a lot of times we get real stupid about it and we don't know how to be strategic and clever. You don't have to worry about a chicken distracting your man. It's that one that got that good job, that keeps that house clean, that has these kids looking shiny in college. You always know when a woman on the scene, when the kids come back to you, you're like, that ain't no daddy ponytail. That's a daddy girl.
I got pretty good at making ponytails.
That's good. That's good.
I got pretty good. I mean, not perfect, but I actually had her sitting down. I said, I need to know how to do this girl, baby.
That's good.
Okay.
As good as you can do it, you can do it better than
a woman. Oh, I know, just still.
You know, a woman, you like,
Yeah.
Okay.
My mind is so far from that. But here's what's good, though. About everything you just said, right? Men need to hear that. So.
Women have tried to fight me when I said these things out loud.
Right. Okay, so now we're going to copy, right? And I'm business and marketing. Figured out how to monetize something. So, the 10 things, like, so what if you put out, I say deal, but I'm thinking what we got, a CD or something, an audio CD, as a lead generator, right? We'll talk about that in a second. To attract men, because what you want is, you want to attract them to your business, to your opportunity, how you can benefit them. Said something like, the 7 things every woman knows about how to manipulate a man, but will never tell you, right? And actually create a CD, right, that talks about these things. Have you experienced this as a man? This, and this, right?
I could really do that, because it goes back to the Book of Luke.
Well, from a business point, right? Now you have that. Okay, now think about the opposite of that. A man doing it. The 12 my things name. A man never, you know, and it's a man talking, right?
My name.
Right. So, but that's how you attract people to your offering. That's how you attract people to your business.
Every woman is attracted to a masculine man. He always has all the women. He has multiple girlfriends. His desire to be just with one woman is like, it almost will never exist because everybody's fighting for him. Because he appears. He's a provider, a good protector, he's tall, he's handsome, he's charismatic. Everybody wants him. that don't mean that he possessed any of those good qualities. Perception is everything, and you wonder why he's still single. It's not really because he wants to be. He can't maintain good relationships, long-term relationships, because they figure out his boo-boo real fast. Good thing they don't have no blog with his name on it, because women would know.
Well, that's your website, that app.
Well, trust me, I'm saying it. But women, they do get mad when I say these things.
See, but now you have...
Like, sisters, all that we talk about, don't get mad at black man for being with a non-African-American woman. See, so much easier sometimes. You can't do this because your hair. You can't do that because your hair. You can't have sex because, delete that part. Because you just got your hair done, and it's your husband. You don't want to go in the water, and he's taking you to Hawaii. Because you don't get your weave. But they say this kind of stuff. I'm like, Susie don't do that. She gets her hair wet. Well, I don't be looking crazy. Like, you know, men don't really care about the kind of stuff that we care about. Other women care about that. When you need to be focused on your man.
Dress for other women. They don't dress for
you need to be worried about what he likes. Find out how he likes your hair puffing in once it gets wet. Fix it like that. You never worry about that. But we get this crazy stuff in our minds. Because we listen to other women who know no more than we do, trying to tell us something about a relationship. Instead of looking at the very one that's telling you her track record, but we let those that we love influence us the most.
But did you ever read the book, Man from Mars, John Gray, the other one?
It's a very, very good book. What it doesn't
Barbara,
give well, us...
Let me do this. Barbara DeAngelis, the other one, she's a relationship. She's like this. Well, they were married.
Mm-hmm.
And divorced. Mm-hmm. And not just divorced, meaning like she couldn't, I don't know about him, but couldn't maintain anything. But she's the number one relationship coach on the planet.
Sometimes I'm trying to use the ability. I'm going to tell you my biggest problem with black men dating non-black women. Love has no color barrier. You cannot not love somebody simply because they are not black. My problem with black men is they have so much more patience for women who are non-black than they do with the sisters.
Mm-hmm.
Their patience with us is just so small, so thin, and when you start moving up, I call it echelon, and men, you gotta be down that to say whatever they're a white girl that's a waitress. They put us on such a high pedestal. Like, they don't have to teach her certain things, too, a whole lot more than you have to teach a sister, because there's some things that we just know growing up in the community, that being with the family. You just know. Whereas, she may not, but he has all the patience in the world. She tries to speak English. Sometimes I'm pregnant. But he can't tolerate his sister having an attitude. Most black women, we have an attitude. And I don't want to say we, because I've been guilty of it. It's fear. Fear that if we don't display strength, that we will be taken advantage of. When you work it against the very thing you want. You want a man to come and take care of you. However, it's important for you to show him that you take care of yourself. Because that's what we have seen all of our lives. We're working against the grain. Whereas a lot of Caucasian and non-black women grow up in an opposite type of environment. They see so much more of men actually taking care of women. And it's very good in terms of slavery. So it's kind of designed. But instead of a black man having some patience with him, because there's no ride or die woman like a black woman. She's going to be caught in line for you. I mean, there will be no one like that for you. But they will go and date a woman like Kim Kardashian and marry her. Not that anybody wanted to marry Kanye West, the point is, this is your choice. You could Supreme Court was Shaquita that lived down the street from you, who you would have fared better with than this. All America is watching this debauchery, this mess. So, Black women, you know, we have an attitude about their lives. But we have to start learning about men more. We have to allow ourselves to be vulnerable and let somebody take care of you.
Mm-hmm.
Men are not going to feel comfortable with competing with his woman. You don't need that.
Well, I hear women talk about that. I don't hear a whole lot of guys talking about she makes more money or this or that. Because
men don't think about that.
Right, they don't care about
when
that.
When they like you, they like you.
Right, you know.
When they start to not like you, it's because of stuff you're doing.
Well, you might bring up something. A friend of mine was telling me, he was just on a date, and someone was talking about how educated she is or that and this. And
you know why? I'll tell you why she did that, because we think that being smart is attractive. Being smart is not an attraction, but both things doesn't equate to common sense, or vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
So she should have been quiet a little bit longer and find out what he looked for when she started throwing it out. Did he find that to be interesting or attractive, the fact that she was educated?
No, here's what he told her. He said, she's a business owner. He said, how much money you make? She threw out a number. He said, I'll do that on a good week. On a good week. He purposely cut her. And then he brought me into it and said, I got a friend do that an hour, all that type of stuff. I thought, so you just went there with it. He said, yeah, because she shouldn't have. You know, so I was telling a friend about it, a female friend, like really, really good friend. And she said, yeah, a lot of women make that mistake of leaving the education. Because to me, it's about, personally as a man, we can probably pause and get a chance to pause it if I could mute it. It's about the result that you produce. So that's what it's about. People come from different environments, situations. Everybody's situation is different. I didn't have an opportunity to go to college, and barely got out of high school myself, but I have never not done what I've wanted to do.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you this about your friend. Why did he feel it necessary to stomp on her like he did? Simply because she said she
was. Well, he got some other issues, so that's partly. And that's partly his other issues, right? He had some control issues.
Okay.
So it's not all. Now I get his point, but he took it a little further than he had taken.
Yeah.
Right. I'd say taking it there. But he didn't have to go.
Yeah.
Right. Right. But he shut her down though, real quick. So. But there's no need to. There's no need there. It's no need to be ugly. And that's what I said. It's no need to be.
Yeah, why go hard on a woman like that?
Yeah.
So to that I would say to my sister, talk it off, talk into the game, and move on. Because had you been white, she would have said, oh, that's so good. That's so wonderful. I'm so proud of you.
But you probably wouldn't say that.
I would have just said that, make her feel better, bring her back up from where he pushed her down.
Everybody has a criteria. His is to get a woman to eat out of a can, a soup.
Yeah, he's got some problems.
Right.
Yeah.
No, he got some issues.
I thought they would like to meet him. Because I would run him around and around and around. You got a can. For what?
Yeah.
You be careful what you ask for. I would school him, too. Because you know what? He just might get it. Be wary of a woman who will eat out of can. You haven't had a scare in your life until you did a woman wrong and she was really crazy. Women like that are willing to go to prison. It ain't nothing for them to go to jail for the rest of their life for running you over by. You ain't good time. You got to be, he's not just saying, I'm thinking we a couple forever. And you just funny. Yeah. Crazy.
But that's what I said. You don't, I mean, do what you got to do, but don't treat people badly.
No, you don't.
Yeah, that's the key. Just don't treat
here.
People badly.
He's a very frightened little boy himself. A very frightened little boy who has no direction. He's just looking for his mom and love him. So, okay. You said your event was like in March? March or April?
The exact date. Yeah, I think I told him March. We were just sitting there at a meeting for around the date. I didn't look at that date. But I'll give you guys some information about it.
I would prefer for us, Nicole and I, not to spend a ton more money on anything other than marketing.
Well,
so you mentioned a couple things cost. There was a key to it. The library reference thing, that is free. The media thing, it would cost us nothing other than to give away the books that we have left.
Now, who'd you guys, you told me the thing, but I was asking for a reason. Who'd you guys print the books with? Well, it doesn't matter. How much did it copy per book?
It was, when it came down to it, I think it was like $6 per copy, per book.
We're going to get that down for you.
Yeah.
You got a PDF of the book?
Mm-hmm.
And you told me the 12.
Yeah. Weber.com to start creating our contact list to do an email blast. Right now, I think we can accomplish that.
I was going to say, if you just want to do it in email or whatever, Yahoo.
Yeah, I think we can accomplish that right now. I'm going to scan this and send this to Nicole to see a newsletter. She was thinking something so much more fancy, but Gwen Sweet Potato Pilot to me.
But the point, I want to point out that it's personable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm talking about, okay, when you, what made me think about it when you're talking about, should we
use photos? Well, I wanted to, we had a couple of these. This was one of them that we took.
Yeah. I talk about my kids in almost every single newsletter, except this one. I brought in George Carlin and this whole thing, I didn't talk about it. But you want to make it personal.
Mm-hmm.
You want to. And a lot of, you don't want all that other, you know, nonsense. So, and it doesn't have to be complicated. I mean, I have people, if they don't get it, right? I'm not saying it's, like, well-written in the sense of, you know, all that. It's just, they're getting to know me. People complain if they do not get it.
Really?
I'm not getting that. And, which is a sign that, you know.
That it's popular. And it's growing in popularity.
I'm wrong, but yeah, but they're looking forward to it. And it's simple, it's quick read, easy. Sometimes I'll send them a piece of magic through the mail, then they go to YouTube, and so I make it interactive.
Do you ever promote people in your newsletter?
I will, and I'm having another one come out this week called Success in Foster Care. That's probably going to be turning into a paid newsletter.
Mm-hmm.
I say paid, meaning I'm an advertiser. So I will promote people in that one, yes.
Okay. I just almost feel so anxious to get started. I really, really want us to do an event, but I want us to be able to pack a house. I want 100 people. And 100 people is not easy. I mean, it's not difficult.
Well, it depends. Are they paid people? Are they... You know, if they are paid, what are they paid? Are they friends?
I want friends, colleagues, media.
I mean, it's not difficult if you have a list of people. Mm-hmm. So the other thing you can, when I talk about the media, you want to, not only do all the TV stuff, you want to
do you think we should wait to see if we get some, not to see, after we get some TV coverage to try to do an event on that scale?
No, you want to, and here's why you want the TV coverage. You want it as what I call a credibility triangle, okay? You have a book, that's one side of the triangle. The other side is media and the testimonial. All right? Like just third party testimonial.
Yes.
So that's why you want the media. It's not really to promote and get a million people there. You want it because you can use it forever.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's now a ongoing piece of media. So the I don't think it's on the front page of my main website now, but it was a
You said I could have this?
Yeah, yeah.
You're trying to take it back
to all that. It was me on one of the Fox News programs in Texas
mm-hmm.
doing something. And it was 4 years ago, 3 years ago now, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But its main purpose is now it lives forever. Because it's not as far as I know, it happened yesterday. Right? But you can put that other stuff on your Facebook page and your website.
You're right.
You know, and it's a credibility builder. So just like the book. If we're sitting there and somebody's saying, God, who should we use? Get on TV.
Mm-hmm.
So people like celebrities. Right? People like to be around people that are around famous people.
That's true.
Right. So it has nothing to do with
and we also have the ability, too, to get somebody that's kind of well-known to, Why do I
want to
say give us a shout out? I don't know why I
want to
say that. But you know what I mean when I say that.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's piggybacking off somebody else's.
Yeah.
You know anybody if you have those contacts?
I do.
Yeah. You use them. Take advantage of them and I think advantage that in a negative way. But don't be afraid to use that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And testimonials are great. Pictures are great. If they're willing to say, you know, something about the book while they're holding the book,
mm-hmm.
that's even better.
Okay.
We
have been thinking, some of the stuff that you told us, of course, we couldn't think of that because we have not, done that before, so you are offering us a lot of expertise. Once my job comes to a definitive end, I will be able to kickstart in a lot of these areas, which I can do so much of it now because I'm doing that for maybe much next day. So I am actually going to be doing the bulk of this. Of course, they'll have a full-time job, a husband, and two little girls. Shergon is not thinking about me at this point in his life. Yeah.
To have that. So if you, like you said, okay, well, an example, when, you know, I was rolling, you know, married, the kids, we had a home here, we had a home in New Jersey,
mm-hmm.
just doing something, yeah. And ran into financial issues because of bad choices,
mm-hmm.
right? So, yeah, I'm like, and which is not all, but part of what led to, you know, divorce and all that. She panicked. Right, fear, exactly like you said. What was I saying? What did you say before that? Oh, okay. But when I said, so we went through the divorce process, man, the truck, everything, I think you still mind, but the home, whatever, I don't want anything. I will rebuild. That's not a problem. I don't know.
I'm glad you did that.
Yeah, it was also, in my mind, the right thing to do. And was paying some of the bills up until she got a job, and you know, she could still not be employed, and I'd still be paying them. So, whatever. But the mindset was, I said, I definitely have to go back to that old school hustle that I had when I moved here 20 years ago.
The grind.
And get on that grind and enjoy it. And I enjoy it more now because I know what I'm doing. So it's not even, I just know what I'm doing. And so I was going to say all that to say, you know, if you got the seventh letter and all this stuff, you know it's going to come to an end. But you already mentioned you had that hustle from back in the day.
I do.
That was the mistake. Plus, because a friend of mine, you know my cousin from?
Cool.
A friend of mine posted on his Facebook page the other day, just yesterday I was reading it. he said, Eric, he was just putting out a question. He said, why do people fail in business? And what's your response? He said, I'll go first. He said, they don't know what the fuck they're doing. Right?
Praise God.
Yeah.
I'm just
well, you don't want to come to people now. But it's true. And what happens is people think because they are good at something,
absolutely,
right, because they're great speakers, because they're great communicators, they make a great case, they do whatever.
I'm gonna tell her yes.
They won't leave,
huh? No, I'm just gonna tell her yes. This information is gonna be better coming from me, like I said. I'm going to be doing the footwork in it, and I just need to simply, I know my cousin, I just simply need to present it to her. What she has questions about or what she wants to feel about or doesn't want to do, she's not going to have a problem with saying no. But sitting here listening to you tell me these things, I get it. I see it. I see it right here in front of me. And I see how it could be tremendously successful for us. And as you were saying, people don't know what the F they're doing, and you said that's true.
It's true, and
because you are good at something,
you think people like so. People get into business; they usually get into business because they're great at something,
mm-hmm,
fixing cars, making cakes, whatever. And somebody says, "You should turn that into a business,"
mm-hmm,
and then usually something happens, and they're kind of forced into it, right? But not realizing business is about marketing.
Yes.
That's the secret: is marketing. You have to get people interested in it, you have to do whatever, and make a sale. That's what it's about. It's not about the talent. It's not about how good the product is, and that's the mistake everybody makes, one of them. So we both say, you know, can you make a better burger than McDonald's?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I'm not even, right, then why don't we have burger joints all over the world, right?
Because McDonald's does what they do. We studied them in my graduate program. It is phenomenal. They do a Jedi mind trick. Baby can't even talk, but they know they're golden earth and they want you to stop. Your baby's right by and they can't say a word, but they say, ah, I want the happy meal. No, they don't want the hamburger. They don't want the fries or the nuggets. They want the box. And whatever age appropriate toy they put in it. McDonald's is truly global. Companies can say they're global, but that golden arch, and it starts with the appeal to today. You go to something, they're done. You may not approve of their menu. You might say you are a vegan. You may say you will never allow your children to eat there, but you will roll through that drive-thru. It makes your children happy. If I had so many boxes in his room, I think they go to bed now. I'm not quite sure. I think they brought the little box back. He was just having in his room. He got cards in them and crayons in them and pennies in them. He loved it, and I always marveled at that. Like, look at McDonald's. McDonald's and Disney.
Yes.
Everybody knows Mickey Mouse, and he speaks every language.
Yes.
McDonald's and Disney.
Yes.
So, yes, and it is how they market, how they package, and their presentation.
Yes, and how they, you know, come across. And I say that because people can get real. Like, one thing I had to learn is I spent a bunch of money years ago. When I say years ago, like 14 years ago, on brochures, all these fancy brochures and all this stuff. I still have brochures. Right. And I'm giving them away. I'm putting them in packages, mailing them to people. That's how many I got. It was a nice, nice package. It looked, you know, presentable. And then I learned that, you know, the content has to be there. So if the content is there, and the people know you're willing to give great content, the packaging can be...
What?
Right. It doesn't matter. And I always give the example, if somebody says they have a cure for AIDS or cancer or something like that,
mm-hmm,
you know, you don't, they don't need to put it in a book. If they can put it on an index card, you'll take the index card.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't need to be fancy. You just want the solution. And so again, that's one of those things a lot of people get caught up in, and like, I need four color this, I need this, I need this. Meanwhile, all that's just taking money. You know, and I want all the money to be active in working towards whatever it is, you know, generating clients or reoccurring clients, whatever. You want all the money to be active and working for itself, which is the same reason why you don't want that 10,000 books laying around.
Mm-hmm.
You want to order books, even if they cost a little bit more. We didn't get your book yet. I had to actually go print some more books because I had sold more than I actually thought I had, you know. But now there's no cost in it because it's already paid for.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? There's nothing really coming out of my pocket. All the money is working.
Working for you.
Yeah, working for me. Okay. So, but yeah,
we've
gone for years with this stuff.
I like it.
I'll
probably can't absorb anymore effectively. Okay.